Jason Radio. Well, on behalf of the Arthritis and Osteoporosis WA, I have joining us this afternoon, and we're very thankful that Dr. Mansi Matinti has given us her time today. She's an expert pain medical scientist, and she joins us. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for your time. I know it's very valuable indeed. You're an expert pain medical scientist, and it's always baffling for people that live with chronic pain, you know, if they've got arthritis or osteoporosis or any other problem. And you really are involved in research, education, publications, and rheumatology, chronic pain, I hope you don't mind me mentioning all this, vitamin D, neuropsychology, mental health and gut microbiome. This is an incredible area that you're involved in. Are we progressing, do you think?
Yes. The short answer, yes. Definitely, I think, to give a brief sort of update, is the recent ICD-11 itself recognized persistent pain as a disease in itself. So I think we have made substantial progress in this area. Yes.
Look, that's what everyone does want to hear about. I mean, you know, turning to medications, not always the answer, if it's long-term. I'm sure you'd probably think that to be the case. Now, you've got a program running, haven't you, for 1 year. Is that right?
Yes, we have a program running, which has commenced since 2019. Arthritis Australia recognize that there's a potential learning gap in the quality of care people receive, people with arthritis receive. And so they developed a consortium of member groups to create a digital arthritis education platform, which is targeted at health professionals. So the idea behind this project was that the quality of care we offer to people with arthritis heavily rests on the knowledge and skills of healthcare practitioners. However, these capabilities can vary significantly between disciplines, and so it does generate a potential learning gap, which can then limit optimum care delivery. So this project that I'm working on with the AOWA group is funded through Commonwealth, and it is aligned with the National Strategic Action Plan for Arthritis.
40 countries are in positions, including chief physicians, medical directors, fellows, scientists, and medical specialists. We've got the top of the WASA, haven't we, working on this?
Yes, we have. We have. For scalability, we have partners across multiple universities involved, and though each consortium kind of focuses on their specific area, we have synergies that exist to work across the work streams between all groups. So, for example, we work in tandem with groups who are working on osteoarthritis, led by Professor David Hunter from University of Sydney, and we work very closely with them to enable a more integrated final product.
Do you actually communicate face-to-face, or are we using technology these days?
At the moment, we are stuck with technology due to the restrictions.
Yeah.
But hopefully, in the lifespan of this project, the hope is that we get to see each other in person.
Have you had any surprising results come out of this particular project up to date?
So we are actually in the early stages. We have developed the framework for it. And interesting fact about it is that because this is such a dynamic opportunity to bring together a platform which will cater to healthcare professionals from different disciplines, ranging from GPs to rheumatologists to physiotherapists to nurse practitioners, nurse educators, it allows us to see diverse facets of managing arthritis care, which has been a wonderful learning experience for myself. So I've been heavily involved in designing the framework with my fellow colleagues from AOWA, Ms. Jennifer Prasad and Professor Andrew Briggs. And it has been really amazing to see different facets of how different disciplines and what they contribute to this care. So, yeah, very interesting project.
Aging and, rheumatoid arthritis, unfortunately, seems to go hand in hand. I mean, I don't know whether you have any figures or percentage, but is it really quite prominent out there with people at a certain age?
So the estimate, I think the recent estimate that we see for rheumatoid arthritis, which I'm working on, we see that nearly 500,000 of Australians are affected by it. In comparison to osteoarthritis, it does have a lower prevalence. But having said that, what's really important here is that rheumatoid arthritis is a systemic condition, which means that it does not limit its impact to joints alone. It can affect your other systems and organs, like lungs, eyes, and heart, yes. And so the impact is quite widespread, and so is the disability, so is the impact on quality of life and the pain component of it, yeah.
Yes, and of course medication is necessary in a lot of cases, but I guess down the track you would prefer to see people try to self-manage. It might sound too simplistic, but have you got any suggestions for that?
Sure, yes. I think of all the evidence that we see, the great deal of evidence that comes out shows that being a good self-manager and being knowledgeable about your own disease can improve your long-term outcomes and help you lead a way higher quality of life. And this primarily is also because we have a really sophisticated management of rheumatoid arthritis. So we have really good pharmacological management, and people who do get diagnosed with it can still lead a very active and full life. So self-management is one of the key things that gets recommended, not only within Australia, but from international guidelines as well.
So am I presuming here, and maybe I shouldn't, there'd be a combination of things that you would consider. It may be medication, it may be some form of exercise, it might mean mind control.
Yes, but definitely. I think there's a greater role for managing lifestyle. So by that I mean focusing on healthy weight, trying to have a better physical activity range, pacing your activities, but within the sort of tailored for individual person needs and circumstances.
Yeah.
And smoking has been identified as a major risk factor for rheumatoid arthritis. So cessation of smoking can be extremely beneficial.
Mm. I guess there's a bit of a cycle, isn't there, with people with chronic pain, is that they don't want to keep moving in that because the pain to them gets more extreme. So they've just sort of got to push themselves through that barrier. Would that be right?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's definitely kind of pacing yourself. When we recommend exercise, it has to be personalized, tailored to that individual person's circumstances. So, for example, someone who's had persistent pain for a longer duration of time will not have great capacity for doing muscle strengthening exercise. So they can start off small and then gradually build up. But every little thing that you do does add up in the long run. So it's really important to focus on lifestyle modifications.
And you are seeing some good results when people follow a plan. Would that be right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that is so good to know. There's a lot more work ahead. You're so dedicated, along with everybody else, with this particular program that you're working on, Doctor. That is absolutely wonderful. And thank you very much indeed for joining us and giving everyone a bit of hope. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's a pleasure. Now, if you'd like to find out more about Arthritis and Osteoporosis WA's exercise services, Arthritis Keys Program, or support groups, you can call Arthritis and Osteoporosis WA on this number, 1-800-011-041, or very simply, you can visit their website, arthritiswa.org.au. 100.1 FM, Curtain Radio.